Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Gonna be honest, Ramona.
Talking heads. Yeah, talking heads, Brian.
Same as it ever was. Perfect song for the pandemic when every day seems exactly the same.
It is Groundhog Day for me every day.
Yeah, not going to lie. Thought that was going to be a longer break. Kind of need to go to the bathroom. Didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's too much information, but we're still have Fast Track coming up at 5:30. And everybody knows you need to do that before Fast Track starts. And then the other thing that was cool during that break is Sliwa kind of just slid into our show.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Hey.
It was weird. It was like, hey, he sounded very suave.
You know what's interesting about this, these mobile broadcast ways that we do things now, Brian? You could just slide in and listen to the show anytime.
Yes,
and people just wouldn't know you're there. As long as there's like five lines that you can use. I only have two of them on my phone, but I think there's five of them. And as long as it's not being used by somebody else, you could just like slide in and listen to Mason in Ireland. Long as you don't announce yourself, as long as you're like, you know, hey guys, it's Ramona. Like, no one will know you're there.
Right. Just and you could also listen to the radio and do it that way. But then you don't hear what they're talking about in breaks.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
It's the breaks. You get to listen during the commercials. It's weird. Do you think Alan is excited on a night where John and Steve aren't here? Like, Crosstalk feels like he's getting like a one-day vacation. Mm-hmm. Can we be as brutally cruel to Alan for 26 minutes as John and Steve are? Like, I don't know if we're capable of that. They've turned it into art, Ramona.
It is. And Alan is really good at taking it. He's like
Rocky in Rocky One.
He's
just getting punched. Or like in the early rounds of the Drago fight. He's just getting punched.
Yeah, I kind of pump Alan up. I kind of like root for Alan because I like his story. I like his hustle. You know, he's like the scrappy guy that you root for, right?
It is the most uncomfortable and listenable 24 minutes on the radio.
Is
the Crosstalk segment with Alan Sliwa, with John and Steve.
It's great.
I mean, they are brutal. So I feel like this, like Alan gets to exhale today. Talk about how peppy and excited you were when you got on the air today after you took your nap. Like, Alan is going to be like free Alan. Like, this is going to be, you know, as loose and as excited and as carefree as we have ever heard Alan Sliwa. And that will be
at
6 o'clock tonight.
Is this going to be Sliwa flexing? Is he going to flex?
I don't know if he's flexing, but he's just going to be exhaling. Like, what if Alan had no cares in the world? What
is
if
this
all
Sliwa?
The pressures...
Is this Sliwa with some swag?
Sliwa unplugged? Sliwa unleashed? Sliwa unchained?
Sliwa unleashed. I think that's the right one.
It's Sliwa unsomethinged, and we'll hear about that. And now
like
it may not be as fun for people. I mean,
you know,
there are people who turn in just for the cruelty. But for everyone else,
speaking
it'll be
of
good.
Tuning in for the cruelty, have you been watching the MLB draft?
No, I have not.
I actually watched it a little last night. I was just curious. They've never televised it before, or they have, but it wasn't really. It was like on. I was a little curious. I think I just watched the top 10 picks, and also Jessica Mendoza was my friend, and she was prepping for it, and she told me how she did all these interviews. So I was like, okay, I'll tune in, support you a little bit, you know, cool. And I'll tell you, what I thought, or whatever. So remember how when Roger Goodell did the NFL draft from his house, and it was kind of endearing? It sort of humanized Roger Goodell and made him a person. And then
it did.
Then, you know,
not a person
a way,
I really wanted to hang out with, but
no,
still
but
more
like,
of a person
more
than
so
normal.
Than he was before.
Correct.
Right? You were in his house. He was sort of charming. Well, charming is a strong word. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
But less evil, right? Less corporate. Less,
can we all agree that Roger Goodell's basement looked exactly like you thought Roger Goodell's basement would look?
Yeah. And he wasn't like wearing a suit. He wasn't all dressed up. He was like wearing a sweater vest, right?
Right. And casual Roger Goodell was dressed exactly like you would expect casual. There were no surprises about Roger Goodell in that whole production.
Except that he was more human than you'd expect. And that has not been the case with Rob Manfred. He's like dressed like he's presenting on a stage. He's suited and booted. He's like, It's like the pandemic's not even happening. There's no casualness or humanity being expressed by Rob Manfred in this. It's just, and with the 10th pick, the San Diego Padres took, you know, John Smith, whatever, John Tanner or something. Okay. He's not sucks. Like, yeah, he's not like giving it any extra oomph. He's not giving anybody extra messaging. There's nothing sweet or charming. It's just straight on. Here's the guy's name and here's who took him. And this team is on the clock next. Like it,
you know who they should have do that draft?
Who?
Perk.
Yes. That would be excellent. It was like when Stephen A did the Oscars post show. It was so good. Did you watch it, Stephen A? Like,
yes.
Doing first take version of the
Oscars post show? Oh, God. You know who you bring in? You know who you bring in for this is Clinton. Clinton loves baseball. Clinton Yates. Let him go do this.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, Major League Baseball is not the most imaginative bunch that we've ever seen.
I mean, I like our production of it. I thought we had a guy, Kylie McDaniel, who does the scouting. We had Jessica Mendoza doing interviews with a lot of the players. She had pre-taped a lot of interviews with players of kind of who they were. It humanized them. I've literally never heard their name before and probably won't hear their name for at least 2 to 3 years as they travel through the minor leagues, if there even are minor leagues, right? There was good production value. You had Eduardo Perez breaking things down. You had, Carl Ravitch was the host. I thought he did a good job. Like, it was a good broadcast, but come on, Rob. You know, like, people already think you're like a shrewd commissioner of baseball that's depriving the America of its national pastime right now with these greedy owners. I mean, this was like a moment he could have humanized himself, and it just kind of stuck to the script.
Yeah, I am boring. Fascinated by what comes. Like, the baseball will be played in some form, Rob Manfred said. Like, you know, 100% chance there will be baseball. Yeah. I'm not totally 100% chance that the owners will stage some sort of season.
Yeah.
There's not necessarily a guarantee that if they trot out this 48 games, done by September, you know, the end of September, so that, you know, they can get guarantee the playoffs are played before what people are concerned about as the reemergence of the coronavirus, by the way, as if it has gone anywhere.
Yeah.
When did it go away? I mean, they're worried about it coming back. It hasn't gone away yet, people. I actually think if it doesn't cause a work stoppage for this year, it absolutely could cause one next year. And baseball seems to me, I realize they've had record profits and all of these things, is the most vulnerable of the major sports to, if you go away for a stretch of time, people will forget about you and they will develop different habits. And, you know, I think especially with younger fans, younger kids, they don't consume baseball the way we did when we were younger, Ramona. And if you let them get in the habit of doing other stuff, they're going to be 15 kids in the country under the age of 12 who are going to engage with baseball when it comes back. I don't think they get that.
So, Funch, you have that Rob Manfred sound from yesterday, right? Where he talked about, we're going to have baseball. Yep. So, listen to how excited he sounds. Let's hear from old Rob.
Give me one more second.
All right. Because I was excited when I heard him. I mean,
I'm disappointed that we're unable to reach an agreement that allows us to play more games. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, the most important thing, and I'm not buying into your number of 48. The most important thing is that we play Major League Baseball in 2020. And I can tell you unequivocally, we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
There it is. Brian, you feel like running out? Take me out to the ball game?
I am fired.
We're going to play because I'm going to make the players play. If they don't do what we want them to do, I'm just going to make them do what I want them to do because I have the leverage here. I mean, that's essentially the way this breaks down.
That's essentially,
the owners have given Rob Manfred the leverage here. The players are hoping that they can play more than just the bare minimum of games. But at the end of the day, the owners hold the trump card. Rob Manfred's going to win this one. And it's just a matter of whether we're going to have a stupidly short season or something less stupidly short.
There was another owner who was perhaps a little too candid about the finances of baseball. And I think that Dodgers fans are going to enjoy hearing this on a couple levels. We'll play that sound for you next. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, Fast Track in 20 minutes, Unleashed Sliwa in 50, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Brian Kamenetsky and Ramona Shelburne filling in for the guys, the great Ramona Shelburne, who doesn't want to go to the bubble, but wants to be invited to the bubble.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And there will be a lot of people like that. Like, I don't want to go to your party, but I will be deeply offended if I'm not invited to it. It's a lot like weddings.
Here's the thing.
Like, that's the dirty little secret about weddings. Yeah. Is like, most of the time you don't want to be invited to that wedding, but I will be offended if I'm not invited. I don't want to go, but I want to be invited.
Truth. You got to tell me the truth. I invited, I would say, a dozen or so people from out of state who I just thought it was nice to send them an invite. Like, it was like a friend from a long time ago or some family. And you're like doing it with the idea of like, no way they're going to go. You know, I just want to invite them so I get credit for inviting them. But like, I don't actually want them to go, nor do I have room. And a couple of them actually did come.
Did you get married out here?
Yeah, out here. Yeah.
Well, that's why.
Maybe that's right. Well, my friend was, she was living in Florida at the time, you know, and I was
Florida's a terrible place, Ramona. We've talked about this.
Well, she just came out and we weren't like that close. Like, it was like, oh, okay, you must really like me then. I mean, I was just being nice, you know.
Maybe she recognized that too. It's like, you know what, I'm going to fly out to this wedding and I'm going to make her pay for my dinner to spite her. Do you think about that? Maybe she saw through your little plan.
No, I think she actually just liked me and wanted to go. Oh. And her family was out here, so it was an excuse to like come home and see her family too, you know.
You didn't think it through then. If she had family here and it's in the Los Angeles wedding, you got to assume some people are gonna show up.
You're right. You get a lot of credit for inviting people. I would say like 8 out of 10 that I did that to, like, said, oh, sorry, we can't come, you know. But
we had a bunch of family, like a bunch of my wife's family, we invited fully knowing that they weren't going to show up. Like, we 100% flat out knew that they weren't going to come. But we're like, yeah, that's family. You kind of have to invite them.
We were pretty
lean on friends. Like, we had a pretty strict limit on that room. So we couldn't afford surprises.
The person you invite is like a lot of money.
Damn right,
like,
it is.
When you really start to put money on your friendship, you're like, then, and this is true and also terrible to admit, okay? But let's say it's usually, I don't know, back when I got married, I kind of feel like it was like $100 a person or what. Does that sound right?
No, I guess it depends on food and venue. That's probably on the low end too, like if you're being frugal.
Yeah, maybe it was like 125 or... I don't know, it was 10 years ago, so I just can't remember what the exact number was, but it was not cheap per person.
Hey,
so,
guys, I'm getting married sometime next year. You guys are scaring me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, this is how you almost have to look. There's some people you have to invite, and you don't worry about whether you're going to make your money back, right? Like, are they going to give me a good enough gift so that I'm going to feel good about it?
Are you going to invite Ramona?
Sure, I'm going to invite a lot of people from the station.
All right.
What if we can only invite
one Kamenetsky?
Ooh, man, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to invite Ethan.
Good choice.
Good choice. Well, here's what I say about weddings. If you invite, like Mason always says, just invite him. He won't come, but he'll send you a check.
Right.
That's great. If you know that you are going to invite somebody, they'll send you a check. And you then don't have to pay for them. That's great. That's the best kind of invite, right? Like, unless you really want that person there, you kind of have to signal, like, yeah, I actually really want you to come. Just, you know, it's not just about the money. But then there's people who you're like, oh, man, like, we're going to invite them. They're going to bring, like, plus three. Because you're at Kamenetsky, you got, like, three kids you probably want to bring, right?
I'm not bringing the children. The children stay home.
Okay, so you just be you and Kel? Just be
the whole
and
point of going to a wedding is to leave the children at home.
Okay. So then that's different. But if you have somebody who's like a plus, you know, two, plus four, like, you got to really think that through. Mm-hmm. If you have family that's like, yeah, we got kids and we're bringing them, like, that's tougher. You know, that's tougher to invite everybody, isn't it? I think. Think through it. Like, am I really willing to go $150 a person? Times four for them to come.
Well, I think like people say this all the time, like, you can't put a price on that. Like, that's still no, that's too valuable. If you ever want to find out how untrue that is, get married and have kids. Like, you can't, you can't put a price on your children's education. Sure you can. Like, absolutely, 100% can. Like, you do that as a parent all the time. Like, where are we going to live? Are we going to send it to private school? Wait, how much for private school? Sorry, we're putting it. Yeah, you, turns out you can put a price on that. You can't put a price on friendship, Ramona. Yes, you can. How much does it cost to have that person at my wedding? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It turns out you can put a price on that. Yeah, so that is one of the most untrue statements that you have right up there with, I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world. Of course you would. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how the wedding
goes. You couldn't pay me to do that.
Yeah, and then, Funch, here's another thing that happens. You invite people, and you think that this is like your really good friend. Okay, you think, like, oh, man, this guy's going to show up. This girl's going to show up, whatever. Like, oh, it'd be so awesome if they came. But you assume that they're coming because they're your really good friend. And then they just say, oh, you know what? We can't make it. We got another birthday party to go to that weekend.
Or, like, at the last minute.
And it's like some... Yeah, or like last minute, and you've already paid for them, and they're just like, oh, sorry, something came up. And you're like, wait, this is like a super important day in my life, and I thought you as my really good friend would be there, and you're just canceling on me because something came up?
Is it safe to say I'm going to... Is it safe to say I'm going to really know who my real friends are that day?
Yeah, here's another question.
I think so.
Who do you think from the station, Funchy, is most likely to not be invited but show up anyway?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, if you don't invite Mason, he probably shows up.
Yeah, probably.
I think that's the best way to get him. If you actually want him to be at your wedding, don't invite him.
Yeah. I mean,
especially
I
if he finds out everybody else was invited.
Yeah, he'd be upset. Yeah, that's a thing. If you find out everybody else invited. So I had this, I invited all the girls from my former, from my softball team in college. And
the gang.
I had to invite, and you know, you invite people that you weren't as close with, and you invite people that you were closer with. And I was like, well, I got to invite everyone. Cause then if I don't invite certain others, they'll get upset and, you know, and then I don't want it to be a thing. And, you know, there were some people that I invited that I wasn't really that close with, and they showed up, and there were people that I was like, oh, definitely I'm inviting this girl, and just didn't even respond to the invite. Like, didn't even hit back, didn't even, like, you know, yes or no. I mean, it's one thing to, like, not be good at responding, but, like, nowadays you could just text people. Like, you don't have to mail the card back. It was just like you didn't even get a response, and then I found out later they were playing in some softball tournament, and I was like, oh, really? Wow. Okay, I went to bat for you. Like, I chose you over, like, actual friends of mine from that are local that I just didn't, you know, I couldn't have everyone there. So, like, you gave out an invite, and then you, like, later on you regret it. You're like, oh, I can't believe I wasted an invite on you. Ugh.
Well, again, it goes back to my previous point, which is nobody wants to be invited to your wedding. Like, I realize, you know, there are exceptions to that, but generally speaking, particularly as you get older, and, like, it becomes, like, you go through, like, that stage of your life where it's, like, seven weddings a year, and it's, like, all of your money and all of your vacation time and all of everything is going to, I got to fly to this wedding. Once you get through that, you don't want to go to that wedding. Like, it almost doesn't matter who it is. Like, they don't want to be invited to your wedding. Now, that said, Funchy, I'd love to come to your wedding.
I'd love to come if I'm available, but if not, I will write you a nice check.
Right.
I'm a very good guest.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm a good guest.
Ramona, if she is not available, will send you a beautiful photo of her well-landscaped backyard.
You are so hung up on my backyard. You really just need to move to the Valley. You can afford it.
I want to come see your backyard.
Do your kids want to come swim? Do you want to come?
I didn't know you had a pool back there, Ramona.
There's a pool and a jacuzzi, Brian. You could come, and we can have a socially. Well, I wouldn't interact with you guys because we are definitely still isolating. But you could, like, come over and, like, you know, jump in the pool because it's chlorinated.
I like how you can use two of these. We won't interact with you.
We'll just wave from the window. Yeah,
right.
We'll wave.
The Kamenetskis are coming over. Don't worry. We don't have to interact with them.
We don't have to talk to them. But they'll just be in the pool, and then we'll bleach spray it later.
No, but I do feel like our when, because you guys were cool and you were able to come to Grace's first birthday party. Yeah. This was actually one of the last events.
You were surprised I showed up, right? You were surprised.
No, people got stuff to do. I'm always a little surprised anybody here, but you brought Daniel, and
yeah,
I feel like our children definitely got along. Like they were cool with each other.
Yeah, what are we, like a month apart?
Something like that. Has Daniel forgotten how to be around people who aren't your family? Like Grace sees people on the street now when we're out walking around and looks at them like, I don't know what to do with that person.
Yeah. She's very had a lot focused of stranger on us. Danger. Yeah. 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 We haven't really seen a lot of people. We just go and walk.
That's the point.
Yeah.
they don't interact with anybody.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be really interesting to see what this does to kids long term. I mean, Daniel doesn't know.
Forgotten how to be around other people, like the older ones. Like they don't.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of like the socially distant play dates, or like when it was Ethan's birthday the other day. So cousin Lily came over and like we had a socially distant dinner and cake and ice cream and all that kind of stuff. They don't know how to speak or be around physical human beings anymore that aren't us. If you want a growth industry out there, you're looking for work, you're trying to change career, child psychologist, go, because there is going to be a massive need for them over the next couple years.
I'm choosing to be an optimist on this one. Okay, back in the olden days, Brian. Okay, back in the olden days.
Are you like Little House in the Prairie, or how like, olden?
People
okay,
just grew up and they lived with their parents. And like that was it. Like you didn't see people all the time, and you know it was no big deal. People were fine. They're socialized. They're okay. Like you maybe saw people who came by the farm. People came by the homestead.
What? Look, that's how. What, you have you seen the little house where smallpox is going around, and like they got to keep it out of Walnut Grove?
No, don't watch that.
Shotguns.
You know what I've been watching now? I've been watching.
That's how you. Skins. That's how you self quarantine. Shotguns on the edge of town.
It's called Barkskins. I think Barkskins or something.
I haven't seen it.
What station is it? National Geographic? I think. I've been watching it on the. I just record it, so I can't remember what station it is anymore. It just records every week. It's about the in the 1700s in French Canada, like the homesteaders who were settling the land. It was based on this like amazing novel from a few years ago. It's really good. I mean, people just lived out in a shack in the middle of the woods, and they had three or four kids, and they played together, and that was it. And maybe like twice a year they went into town. Like, I don't know. People turn out okay.
I got to tell you, I mean, it is hard to find a time. My wife makes fun of me because she thinks I'm far too optimistic and far too believing in the strength and goodness of the human spirit. Like, she thinks I'm way too invested in that. All of that's as bad as, and I'm like, it's really bad right now. It's really bad. Like, I get that. It's really bad. Even with that, like, it's still way better than it was in like 1390.
Yeah,
like, that
man.
Sucked. Like, everything about life sucked in 1390. Even if you were royalty,
they had plague and stuff. Everybody smelled really bad.
Bad. If you lived until you were 12, you were lucky.
Yeah, that was.
And what are you living for?
Yeah, you're just a peasant, and you're harvesting crops, and 90% of it goes to the feudal lord who ruled over your land.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
You have 73 siblings because 67 of them will die of smallpox,
right?
Like, or you know, scarlet fever or any of these things. Yeah. It's like, you know, life back then. It sucked. So I mean, happy that you didn't grow up 700 years ago.
Yeah.
There was nothing good about that. Like that was not good. Like that was terrible. So
yeah, they didn't have Netflix back then. You know what they did? They read Bible verses at night, or they read like the one book, right?
You know what they did? They went to sleep.
Yeah, really early.
Just because they had to, and they had to be up at 3 a.m. to go till the fields.
Yeah, we're doing okay, people. You know, just stay home. It's okay.
Pandemic sucked a lot worse in 1812, you know.
Oh,
so be thankful for what you got.
Yeah. Well, this was an uplifting segment, I think.
I think so.
Okay.
I always wonder. I always, you know what? I'll save this for Fast Track, which is next.
Yeah.
I'll save this. because it's directly tied and it makes a good fast track question. I still need a couple extras.
So. Is Lindsay back? Fast track. Where'd you go, Linz? Are you back?
I'm here.
Oh, yay.
Here,
so.
And you guys do fast track now, right? That's part of the deal?
Well, we're doing, this is,
was that like
hour
long fast track?
No, hour long fast track. Fast track is done as of tomorrow. Because when Mace comes back on Monday, we're just gotta start fresh, find something new.
Wait, fast track is going away?
Yeah, corporate Greg.
What?
And Amanda nixed it.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know about this. Well, that's like everyone's favorite part of the show.
Well, we
apparently
figured,
not.
You know what?
Not anymore.
Well, it's not Greg or Amanda's favorite part of the show. So we're going to work some of our weird, funny topics and games into the show.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Right.
We'll do it during the show.
You know what that is.
We'll come up with something else, you know. We'll name it quick street or something and just change the music and then everyone will be fooled.
Yeah, you're not going to name it Quick Street, but that's okay. Ramona, you've seen management sometimes just feels like they got to be doing stuff. You know, it's like, we're going to make a change here. Why? Because we're management. Mm-hmm. I think that's what this is.
Okay.
Make sure you send all the angry messages to Bergman. Don't bother Amanda. Send them all to Greg.
Yeah.
If you have an angry at Bergman Greg on Twitter, that's where your ire should go. Leave Amanda out of it. And definitely leave Lindsay out of it. Fast track.
Man.
Next, Brian Kamenetsky, Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, 710 ESPN. Force of habit. All right. It is time for Fast Track, for the second to last time. What's the word for that? The second
penultimate?
To last thing?
That's penultimate.
Penultimate.
Wow.
I'm going to do a Mason. Am I using that right? The penultimate Fast Track.
Yeah, you got it. So I get to be part of the final Fast Track tomorrow afternoon with John Ireland. Is that
you
how
do?
It's going?
Wow,
that's
yes.
Right.
Wow. I don't know. I have a feeling that we video killed the radio star, right? Like we killed it by doing too much of it. Like maybe it was an hour too long. So maybe we'll bring it back in some form or fashion. But like
we'll
less, but maybe
we'll
less.
See.
Yeah. Okay. What's on the agenda today?
One question. Yeah. So we just to remind people, I ask Ramona questions. She asks me questions. And as Ireland points out, we don't know what those questions are. We don't share them beforehand. I like that John actually takes the time to point that out. The coin flip today, baseball season will be 48 games long, the Rob Manfred disaster plan, or baseball will be 76 games long or something like that the players want. Ramona, call it in the air.
Oh, it's going to be something closer to the players. I think it's going to be somewhere, it's going to be more than 48.
More than 48. Tails.
Yay! All right. I like that. More baseball.
Yeah. More than 48.
Fast track.
All right. I'm going to go first. Hey, Brian, I've been binge watching this show called Naked and Afraid XL this week.
That's
Naked and Afraid, where they put them out in some like jungle or desert or some really harsh landscape. And then with a machete and a bag and that's it. They say, go live and exist for 21 days and you have one partner and you're naked and you're afraid. It's a really strange show, but I don't know, strangely appealing. I watch it all the time. Now they have Naked and Afraid XL, which is like groups of people. Okay.
Right.
And last night,
it's not what you might think the XL means.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And all that's kind of covered up by the sensor anyway. So
it's the amount of pixels you have to devote to your budget. I'm just saying.
True. Yeah. Yeah. So last night, one of the teams ate some toxic aloe plant. They thought it was going to be like some food. They were like, oh, you can eat aloe. It'll be like 800 calories, like a salad. And then they ate it. They're like, ooh, this is really bitter. I wonder if it's not good for us. And later in the episode, they were having like hallucinations. This is obviously a very bad thing. Another lady boiled some water and she noticed that it had like a lot of algae in it, but she thought by boiling it would be okay, but it ended up really not being okay. My question to you is, what is your proudest outdoor survivalist moment? What is like Brian Kamenetsky's champion camping story?
There aren't many of them. I will be honest. Hold on. Andy, you know I'm on the radio. There's no need to call. I should probably what do you do that? You set it to airplane
set
mode?
To
I'm always afraid to
yeah,
I'm always afraid to press
mode.
Buttons because I'm afraid like my phone
well,
will disconnect.
Hang up. Yeah, I understand.
Right. So anyway. When I I've gone camping a few times, like with the kids and stuff, since, you know, they like doing that. And that's very low key, you know, campsite pretty close to like you're in Big Bear and stuff. When I was in college, we did some legitimate, like, put your sleeping bag on your backpack and get out there and go do. But like, I've never had to do the, should I eat that? Kind of camping, like, is that okay if I eat that, or
will I die, you know,
if I boil that long enough, is it safe? Like, those are questions that I never have had to ask myself. So I mean, I've started a fire, I've gotten, but like, I'm not a survivalist. I think we all understand that. I can't even come up with a good story.
I've done a I did like a 3-day backpacking trip in college too. All my I went with my mom, where I had to like carry everything and do everything. That was a little bit more. I don't have anything where I had to like, was I going to die? The scariest part was on the backpacking trip. We have the bear canister. Did you have that, where you put all your food in a canister? You're supposed to hide it away from where you're staying.
So no, where I did this, I was in Australia. We didn't do bears. We had snakes.
Okay. So I had the bear canister, and I said, I'll go hide it. And then my friend said, why don't I come with you just in case, you know, it's like really dark out. Right. So we went and we're kind of just like walking through this field, and we had the bear canister, and we were looking for a place to hide it so that we could go get it in the morning. We had to remember where we were going and stuff. And all of a sudden, as we were walking, we saw like some eyes, you know, you could tell it was some animal out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't really sure what it was. I mean, it was probably like a deer or something. It was like something dumb, right? But like in that moment, I was like genuine fear and terror. And I screamed like a little girl, threw the bear canister as far as I could, and ran. I think that is the extent of my survival experience. That is like, yep, I ran from whatever eyes I saw in the distance. It made a little rustling noise. I have no idea what it was. But the bear canister was fine the next morning, and nothing tracked us back to the camp.
Important. That's very important. Yeah, this actually, Funchy, if you want to hit the button, this actually tracks very well into my question.
Okay.
So we were talking before the break about like how awful life was like 400 years ago.
All right.
I often, like, one of my greatest regrets, like, I once was really good. One of my really good friends was dating a guy, and he made a canoe. The guy just like took a big tree trunk and made a canoe out of it. And I have never had a bigger man crush on somebody than I did on this guy. It was like, I was completely in awe of his ability to be useful with his hands. Like, he made a canoe, Ramona, and it worked.
Yeah.
And at that point, it occurred to me that if I were to go back in time, like 200 years, whatever it would be, I would have literally nothing to offer, you know, in 1820. I have nothing that I can't teach them. I can tell them electricity is coming. No, you can't. I would be able to make them think I was like a supernatural god or something until my phone ran out.
Okay.
Like, once my phone dies, I got nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
So I can't make anything. I can't do anything. I can't invent anything, because I know electricity is a thing, but I don't know how to make it. I don't know how to do it. So my question to you is, if you travel back to, say, 1840, 1820, whatever it would be, what could you offer them that they don't already have?
That they don't already have.
Okay. Like, they have writers back then. They don't need me for that.
They don't need me for that. I'm really good at carrying heavy things. I'm really good at like organizing the fridge and things like
that. They didn't have
that.
Like, nope. They didn't have a fridge.
I think that I could translate what I know about like organizing refrigeration, like refrigerating things with like blocks of ice. I think I could like probably come up with something like
You'd
that.
You'd be like, you're the Marie Kondo of pre-Civil War refrigeration.
Yeah, something like that.
That is the worst talent I think I've heard.
Well, I'm good at carrying heavy things. Like, I mean, I'd be a good, I always thought I'd be a good peasant because I could carry large quantities.
All they had in like the, you know, from the year like 17 until about 50 years ago were people carrying heavy things. The world was filled with people who could carry heavy things.
I'm good at that.
They didn't need you, but they didn't need you for that.
Okay. What else could I do?
You know what? Here's the one thing that we could all teach everyone. Okay. Wash your hands. Like, you're about to perform surgery, wash that.
Okay, I would be the person who makes things smell better. Yep. I would infuse, I would be like the 1820s Febreze girl. I would know how to make things smell better. Yep.
You know, a little lavender goes a long way there.
A little lavender. I would sage everything. I would teach people to wash their hands, sanitation. And I'm good at organizing things. I'm good at like stacking, you know, lots
of
boxes.
Okay, so you're just as useless as I am. Funchy, yeah. You have anything you could offer?
I mean, I can cook, but I mean, all those are skills that people then already had.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You have nothing to offer. You can't teach them anything. Like, right. You couldn't go back in time and invent electricity.
No.
Funchy, Lindsay, you guys have anything that you would be able to offer anyone?
I'm a great candle maker.
I don't know
that's
if I can
good.
Help anyone.
That's
was
something.
Just to look good, I guess.
Then. Just to look good?
Yeah, just to look good, because I really can't offer anything. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a peasant in dungeons or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Yeah. This by the way also means that when the apocalypse finally comes, it may be close. Yeah. I am one of the first people that's going to be eaten, so that's disappointing.
Okay, I got my turn.
Track.
All right, an Amazon worker in England who lost her engagement ring while packing orders has launched a nationwide appeal to find it. Jasmine Paget, 18 years old, had finished packaging prime parcels at an Amazon warehouse near her house when she made the devastating discovery. Jasmine had received the stunning ring from a fellow warehouse employee, Josh Mannings, who was 20, only a few months ago on Valentine's Day. But despite the entire team searching high and low for the ring and shutting everything down, she was forced to return home without her precious ring and in absolute pieces. Brian, my question to you is, have you ever lost your wedding ring? And if so, what did you do?
Yes, I actually have. This is about 3 weeks. I'd have to ask my wife exactly when it was.
Okay.
It was not sized properly, and it kept kind of sliding, and I was trying to, you know, like men are stupid and they do things where like, you know, you do like, it hurts, doctor, it hurts when I do that. Well, stop doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I would like kind of shake my finger around a little bit and as an example of how the ring would fall off.
Right.
I was walking along Fountain Avenue near my old apartment. And I was sort of shaking my ring, and it flew off my hand.
Woo!
Into a sort of landscape thing of this really tall, thatchy straw grass.
Oh, boy.
Gone. And I was digging for it. I was doing all this stuff and whatever. Weeks go by.
Wow.
We got a call. The landlord of that building was re-landscaping and found it.
Wow.
And he remembered. He had seen me that day and like the next 4 days looking for the thing, remembered where I said I lived, and he returned the ring.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep.
That's a good story.
And this is why I believe in the humanity of people.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So mine's different. I messed up my engagement ring like literally the first week after we get engaged. It was really bad. I bent one of the prongs and the diamond fell out, and I was like, Yeah, I found it very quickly and got it fixed, but that was terrifying. The wedding ring, only time I lost it, I actually had gone to the station. I was doing a show with Mark Willard. And do you remember Mark Willard? He's up in San Francisco now.
I do remember Mark Willard, doing a show
up there. And so Mark and I were doing a show, and I got to the station and I said, Mark, I'm just so upset. I don't know where my ring is. I had it last night. I think I had it this morning. I don't know where it is, but it fell off somewhere. It could be anywhere. I stopped at the Starbucks. I went to the, you know, I came in here. It was, you know, he did the 10 a.m. show, but I was like really upset. I was like, you know, on the verge of tears the whole time. I told Nevin, and we were very, you know, upset together. And Mark said, you know, would you mind if I called my wife? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, my wife is a medium. You know, his wife's a medium. Okay. Maybe you could talk to her for a minute and she can just kind of see if she can focus on, and maybe she can feel it or see where it is. I said, hey, you know, I mean, I don't know about all that. At this point, why not? I kid you not. I called her and within like, we talked for 3 minutes. She could hear it in my voice. I was upset. I kind of told her what I did. She said, okay, I'll let me think about it. She calls Mark back like maybe an hour later. And he said, tell Ramona it's in her car. I go, what? She said, it's in her car. All I'm seeing right now is like keys and something in her car. I said, okay. So, cause I'd been around that morning. I'd been to a game the night before. I went to my car and it had fallen so far underneath like the front seat, but she was exactly right. It was like down kind of by where you would keep your keys, where I must've like reached into my purse and it fell off and it, It was in my car. She nailed it. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But you know, it was that pretty awesome. Think?
I do not want to be married to a medium.
I was like, I that can't believe not, that we did the whole show. Cool. I went down to my car and found it within like 3 minutes of her saying
wow,
that. It was
that is
awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. Well done. But
it's
again,
in her car.
Don't marry a medium. Funch, we have to take a break, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. More Fast Track coming up.
Ramona's got a game.
Sliwa. Ramona's got a game. All right. Moving on with Fast Track. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for the guys. Is it my turn or your turn, Ramona? We have to
it's
make
your
sure
turn.
We have time for your
it's
game.
It's your turn. Track. Yeah.
All right. I will go with this one. Apple has put a patent on the socially distant group selfie. Cool. The tool would allow users to stitch photos together of themselves with other people, even though they have to stay socially distant. And so my thinking is, this obviously could be a lot of fun to play with your friends and screw around or whatever, but it also affords a lot of opportunity for fraud. So if you could now create socially distant group selfies and just start dropping people into your socially distant group selfie, let's say you could put three other people into it. Who do you want in your socially distant group selfie?
Wow. So this is like quarantine style, huh?
You're right. Like who, if you could just sort of, you know, cause you either get it for real or you could just Photoshop them in and make that your socially distant group selfie.
There actually, it already exists. It's called Photoshop. But if you want to make it easy for, you know.
Right.
Look, as long as I don't have to download. Yeah. If it's just on like Apple, like everyone's going to do it. I don't know if I like this, by the way. This creates like a lot of opportunity. I mean, Photoshop is obvious, you know, and there's like a real thing there, but like so much of our justice system now is like cell phone justice. And so there's a lot of potential for people to be put in bad, compromising positions like this in these photos. Should be making that easier for folks. But who's in my selfie? All right. I want to be hanging out with Oprah and Gayle King. Let me just hang out. That'd be fun. Let me just be like in the middle of their like, you know, girl talk because they're really good friends. That'd be cool.
I also wonder too if like we live in an age where this is possible. Can somebody make this selfie for Ramona before the end of the show?
I want to be at Oprah's Santa Barbara house. She lives in Montecito, hanging out like in the garden or cooking or hanging out with her and Gayle. And it's just all of us having a little wind down.
But it's trickier than you think to make this because it's got to be it's got to look like a selfie. It's got to be someone holding the camera out from that angle with like you and Oprah and Gayle King. So it's a tricky.
That'd be kind of fun
endeavor.
Though. That would be like a world
Lindsay?
I would want to be in. What about you?
Lindsay?
I would want to be in a selfie with quarantine style, not my everyday life, but just because these two people that like they make me think they're having the most fun ever in quarantine is Justin Bieber and his wife, Hailey Baldwin.
Okay.
They seem like they're like the most fun couple ever and they hang out with their family and do all their cool TikTok dances and fun stuff, and I just think they'd be a blast.
Yeah, okay.
Funchy?
I don't know about quarantine style, but I want a selfie with the banana boat crew.
Good. Yeah.
So you want to be on the banana boat?
I want to be on the banana boat. Yeah. I want to replace Gabrielle Union on that boat.
Oh, dang. No, you want to be on the banana boat. You just kick off Mello or something. You don't
I want to hang out with Mello.
You want to. Gabby's the fun one.
Is she really?
Gabby's amazing. Gabby is so fun. I'm not gonna talk about her like we're real friends or anything, but I've met her several times, like very socially at events. She's so fun.
She's somebody Ramona invited to her wedding in lieu of real friends, but this time actually hoping she would come.
Like Gabrielle and I, we've run into each other at like all-star parties or courtside at a game in Miami, you know, things like that, like in LA. But she's really fun. She's the life of the party there. So you want her on the banana boat. You don't kick her off.
Right. The exercise here is like you want to be able to impress people with who is in your selfie.
Okay.
I think that's a lot of because like, again, it's the selfies for the internet. That's why you're doing it. You post it on Facebook, like who I'm hanging out with. So you want people that are going to impress people. I want Bill Murray.
Okay.
President Obama and Slava Medvedenko. That's who I want.
Wow. That's a group.
That's my three.
And the caption is, The captain is what?
Me, Slava Medvedenko, and two other guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is the caption.
Love me some Slava Medvedenko. All right, game time, Ramona.
Okay.
Fast track.
All right, this is a game. I have five questions, all right? Who wants to keep score?
I'll do it.
You'll keep score.
I'm filling the Ireland chair. It's right. My obligation to keep score.
All right, sounds good. This is a game that I found a fun site that told me about animal lifespans, okay? And I'm going to say which animal that I'm going to name in each question lives the longest. All right. Does this sound like a fun game? I don't know.
Yes.
We'll see.
It sounds like a fantastic game.
Okay.
It sounds
question
like
number
the reason
one.
They killed Fast Track. But
yeah, might be. okay. Question number one. Which lives longer between an antelope, a grizzly bear, and a bullfrog?
Who goes first?
Brian, you go first.
Grizzly bear.
All right. Lindsay?
I'm going to guess an antelope.
All right. Funch?
Bullfrog.
Brian Kamenetsky is correct. The correct answer is grizzly bear. An average lifespan of 34 years. The antelope lives 15 years, and a bullfrog only lives 15 and a half. Okay. Wow. Brian on the board.
Actually
question
seems pretty
number
good
two.
For a bullfrog. Bullfrog.
Yeah, pretty good, right? The frogs are kicking it. All right. This one is going to be a hard one, I think. Okay. A chimpanzee, a crocodile, or a condor? Lindsay, you go first. Ooh. This time.
I'm going to
chimpanzee,
guess
crocodile, or condor. You're guessing crocodile, okay? Funch?
Condor.
Brian?
I believe the answer is condor.
Brian, Funch, you are correct. The condor lives an average of 52 years.
What is a condor, guys?
It's a bird.
Like a big vulture-y bird.
Oh, okay. Big, big, huge bird. A chimp lives an average...
BHB.
The chimp lives 50 years, and a crocodile only has an average lifespan of 13 and a half years. Thought they lived longer.
Pick it up, okay. Crocodile.
Yeah, all right. Okay, here's some really old animals, okay? A golden eagle, the Indian elephant, or a donkey? Funch, you go first.
A donkey.
Brian?
I will say the elephant.
Lindsay?
I'm going to go elephant as well.
None of you are right. The answer
is
golden
eagle.
The golden eagle lives an average of 80 years. The Indian elephant lives 70 years, and a donkey lives an average of 50 years. Who knew? Okay. Fourth question. Do you guys like this game? It's kind of fun, right? There's only two more questions. Number four. Turkey, a wolf, or a reindeer? This is Brian's first up.
Turkey, wolf, or reindeer? I'm going turkey.
Okay. Lindsay?
I'm going to go wolf.
Bunch?
Wolf.
Bunch? Lindsay, you're on the board.
Whoa.
Wolf. The wolf lives an average of 16 years. The turkey and the reindeer both live an average of 15 years. Last question. Okay, Brian, can you give us the totals?
How do they measure
scores?
This, by the way? Who is out
average
there?
Lifespan.
How do they know? Checking all the turkeys?
I think so.
I believe that is how they do it, Brian.
Brian, what's the score?
All
what's
of the
score?
Turkeys. It is
you're
Brian
score.
2, Lindsay 1, Funchy 2.
Oh, gosh. Everybody's got a chance to win. This question is worth 2.5. All right? The question is, who lives longer, a raven, a rhinoceros, or a python?
A what?
A raven, a rhinoceros, or a python. So Brian and
there
Funch,
you
guys both have to go first because you have 2. Lindsay, you go last. So we're going to make Funch go first.
Oh, a python.
Okay.
Okay, well, I want to win. So I will go. What were my other choices?
The raven, a rhinoceros, or a python.
I'm going to go raven.
Okay. Lindsay?
I want to say python.
I feel like rhinoceros is there for you to get to pick.
Yeah,
him. Lindsay, the only way you win is with the rhinoceros.
Why don't you relax? That's what I'm going to pick. Rhino.
All
final
right.
Answer.
The winner is Brian Kamenetsky. The raven lives an average of 69 years. The rhino lives an average of 40 years. And a python only gets to 20.
What?
Yeah.
What is a raven doing for 69 years?
I don't know. They wrote a whole book about him, you know? I mean, quote the raven, nevermore, right? Like, he's long around a long time. He's got a lot to say. I don't know.
Apparently.
Was that a good game? I don't know.
That was a good game. That was better than...
That was okay.
Better than most?
Yes.
Who knew, sure. who knew that the Golden Eagle lived 80 years? Can you imagine?
You know what, Ramona? I finally figured it out. The problem isn't necessarily you're the writer of the game. You're the wrong host of the game.
Ah,
maybe. It might be a delivery issue.
Okay.
I think that was great.
I don't know.
And I did it
we'll
fast.
Never find out because
three choices
fast track
per
is over.
Big fan.
That was good.
Big fan of that one.
Yeah. That was. I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that donkeys live 50 years. Did you?
I did not.
Well, it started off by me saying I was going to do lifespans, like who lives longer. Like, so I was going to do some animals. I was going to do some, we did the sports measurement games, like what's longer, But then I was like, I'll just stick with all the animals. It's kind
of
fun.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of lifespans, Ramona.
Yeah.
Every day, it seems like it's Groundhog Day for this guy where he gets run over by the bus.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up the next day to do it all over again. But today is going to be different because John and Steve aren't here. So what does it sound like when Alan Sliwa does crosstalk without a care in the world? We'll find out next. Mason Nyland, Brian Kamenetsky, and Ramona Shelburne in for the guys, 710 ESPN. Oh, it is time for crosstalk. And Alan Sliwa of the Sliwa After Dark Show or Sliwa at Sunset. I don't know what the summertime thing is. But Alan, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. BK and Ramona. I like this.
Right.
BK and Ramona.
Do you feel like a little more of like a little lighthearted, a little more pep in your step, all that, knowing that you can come on at least for one night? They're just not going to spend 24 minutes backing the bus up and back and forth and just grinding you into the pavement like, you know, roadkill.
Probably the most relaxed I've been since, let's say March 11th. March
4th. Well, what, Alan,
right,
what
around
is
that time.
You really take it from them, though. Like, it doesn't seem to bother you. Does it actually bother you?
Definitely sometimes. Definitely.
It really gets in there? Okay. Because, we used to have the way this used to work is we all, we would always say to each other, you could make fun of me for anything, but there's two or three things that I'm actually kind of sensitive about. So that's in the box. Like, don't touch what's in the box. Right? Like, so, there were things
what's in
like
the box.
It's in the box. Don't touch that. That actually will hurt my feelings and I'll get actually mad. It'll affect our personal relationship. Everything else, make fun of me for everything. So I used to be like way more sensitive about people making fun of me for being late all the time because I was very embarrassed about it. It's like a deep personal shame of mine that I'm always late and it's really unprofessional. And I think it makes me look really bad. It's something I've definitely worked on. Okay. So I was like, guys, you know what? Like, we can make fun of me, but like, let's just like cool it. Like, just go to a certain level, but like, don't harp on it for 20 minutes. Like, we could do like a couple of jokes. Like, you're going to be late for your own funeral. All good. But now I took that one out of the box. I said, go ahead, have at it. It's something.
Well, it's
like, obviously,
at this point,
yeah,
you've actually managed to make it part of your brand and monetize it. So it's like, you've really turned the tables on people.
Yeah. That's what the thing is. Yeah, what's in the box for you? Like, what should we know? And we could relay back to John and Steve, like, what's in the box?
That's
don't make
awesome.
Fun of Alan for this.
You know what it is? With those two, I mean, I just had never – I'd never walked into this. So I had no idea.
Yeah.
Zero idea what to expect with Mason and Ireland. And it's so opposite of what I'm accustomed to. So it's it actually, some of the things I think is pretty funny. Like, some of the things they do, you think there's nothing to it, and then, a few shows in or 2 weeks in, they consistently do it, and you're like, all right, I'm kind of with this now. You know, you kind of like it. Whatever. It could be when they're saying how many guests you have on the show, how many are in the can, all that. In the beginning, I was like, okay, this is the worst thing that can possibly happen. Now I kind of play into it as well. I don't know if there's one thing. But they're relentless.
Find a little crack, so with me, they always make fun of me for being like snooty Stanford girl, right? Like that's a thing. I'm late. I'm scattered. Those are like my things. Brian, you get made fun of because nobody can tell the difference between you and your brother. You get made fun of for like always being like too available, right? Like so available.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's
somebody call a Kamenetsky, right? Like. You know, it's okay. It doesn't matter which one, like we just made the jokes write themselves. Right. But with like, there's a few things like I didn't know when we went to those roasts, like you know, what was, are there things in the box?
Sure.
Right? Like, can I make that John Ireland half dome joke? Can I go there? Right? When we did the Steve Mason, and I took everything that was in the box and I actually went for it. Did you do that too, Brian?
Yeah, kind of, but we went first, so we weren't sure where the line was.
Where is that line?
And we're kind of establishing the line, because, like, when you go first,
you're
a little concerned, like, if I come out, like, if everybody else,
if you draw blood, kind of everybody's like, ooh.
If we go 100 on base, like, right out of the gate,
right,
and everybody else was planning on keeping it, like, 50, A, not only are the other people's materials not going to play, but everybody's going to look at you like, you guys are a-holes. Like, man, like, it's supposed to be a fun night celebrating Steve. What's the matter with you two?
Like, if we had Dave Singer out first.
Sure.
Whoa, that would
Right, like, Dave went,
woo!
Like, yeah, Singer was great because you weren't expecting that from Singer. But he was
fourth or fifth. If he would have been first, that would have been like, whoa!
He'd also been drinking.
Quite a bit.
He had a couple back. You know, you know what it comes down to, Ramona, too, is they have so much experience and so much chemistry that when you walk into that, especially if someone from me, I mean, I'm as raw as they can possibly be, still trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing.
I know, it's obvious when we listen to the show. I know.
You are Alan and Tartar Sliwa.
we all know that. But it's, you walk into that.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about just completely no idea what to expect on a night in, night out basis. But that's crosstalk. That's crosstalk.
Can I say something, though?
Most awkward 30 minutes in radio, right?
Because it is uncomfortable. It is incredibly listenable. But yes, there are some times when I am uncomfortable as a listener. I don't turn it off. I can't turn it off. And I feel bad for you, Alan, but not to the point where I want them to stop, because I'm being entertained and it's at your expense. And I do feel a little bad about that, but again, I do get over it pretty quickly in time for the next one. So,
okay, it will just scar me for life, but as long as you got your little bit.
Listen.
Right, exactly. I'm glad we all agree.
You listen, you do it for the art, you do it for the radio, you know, you're making good radio, you're giving the people what they want. And if your role, if you're cast as Mason and Ireland's just like guy that they chew up and spit out every night, and your job is to take it and laugh and have a good attitude about it, it's going to make people root for you, Alan. I really think that's going to be your brand. You're going to be the one that they root for.
You know what I don't know how to do? What I don't know is how to just kind of come back very casually. I feel like I either go for blood or I have nothing.
Right. I understand. Yeah.
I feel like I'm either swinging for a haymaker or I just sit there and take it.
You're in the dunk contest trying to take off from the 3-point line, and at some point you're gonna get that dunk, but it's a lot of missing in between it. I will say this, Alan: when Ramona asked you that question about does it bother you on a personal level ever what they say, and you said, "Yeah, kind of, it does." That was 100% the wrong answer if you want them to ever stop.
Well, it's authentic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
it's like, it's the reality.
Because the truth is, all great satire is based in truth. It's just dressed up as funny, right?
Yes.
Like, it's just, but it there is a grain of truth to all of it. So when, like, when Brian likes to make fun of me for my bougie tendencies, like, Brian thinks I'm like he takes the snooty Stanford to the, you're flexing with your backyard and your
she doesn't always realize, like, Ramona doesn't always understand what she sounds like when she says things.
I used
and I don't mean this maliciously. Yeah. There's never malicious intent behind it, which is, I think, why audiences will accept it and
why
you can make the joke and why it's okay. Like, for example, there was a time when hadn't been in the studio together, and you looked at me one day and you said, have you lost weight? And I said, yes, because I lost like 15 pounds.
this is a good comment. Pounds.
And you said, oh, I can tell because your face looks a lot better. And like, you know, okay. And there was another time when Ben
that's
was
the only way you could
Ben
drop
Lyons.
50. That's the only way you could drop
right.
50
your face looks a lot
take,
better.
And take that type of compliment.
You were grotesque before, but now your face.
But
looks
I could
better.
Look at you now. I could look at you. Now.
Right.
But,
thank God you
see,
finally
now,
dropped
I
those
think
pounds.
That's a really good statement. Like, what, that's what my mom always says to me when I've lost weight. She was because I can see
right.
it in your face. You know,
right.
that's like a
no,
nice.
But I can see it in your
nice
face
compliment.
Is different. No, I can see it in your face is different than your face looks a lot better. And like the day before the Oscars, you were on with Ben Lyons, and I would love this. I actually texted him afterwards, and he was telling you about the Oscar after thing that he was doing. And keep in mind,
yeah.
Ben Lyons has worked in entertainment
yeah.
for like a decade and a half. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
He was on E.
Yeah.
He was on, and he was like, oh, wow. He's like, that's a really good job for you.
Yeah, it was
like,
though.
Sort of like as if he had never worked.
No,
like,
no, no.
Ever.
He was hosting the official Oscars after show.
Ramona, I know
that's
that.
A huge
the
break.
Way you said it was, and you were trying to be like, "Wow,
that's
an awesome gig." It was
but
meant
Brian,
as one. It didn't.
Brian,
it sounded more like, "Look at you with your little show. That's great for you. You didn't mean it that way." And everybody
and way,
knows, like, you didn't mean to tell me I was
I
ugly.
Think Ben heard
you
it
just
as a compliment.
Did. No, like, well, no, he
comes,
understood it as
okay,
a compliment
BK,
because it was you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, BK, the way it's okay is because you know Ramona, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know
exactly.
There's nothing malicious to it. But anybody else, somebody else could listen to it and be like, wait, what was that? What did she just
wait, what was
what
that?
Yeah.
Say? What was
but
that?
But it's Ramona.
Did she just call Brian ugly? like that's. But since
no.
it's you and you just sort of, you talk, words come out of tumbling out of your mouth. Not always in the sound or the order.
In the right
you
order.
Would probably
that's
prefer.
True. You see, I think that those are compliments. And I think that like, okay, with the first time that I was on Pardon the Interruption, that was a big thing. So people were like, hey, that's awesome. I'm really happy for you. That's cool. That's good for you. Like, I don't take that as like, hey, you're like a nobody.
No,
and
no.
You know, I take that as, yeah, you're right. This is a big break. That's really cool. My first time on PTA, the show I grew up watching. The first time I did Around the Horn, that was really exciting. I remember like my biggest welcome to ESPN moment was when I did a SportsCenter segment with Stuart Scott. I was like, oh, I'm
that's
on with Stuart Scott.
That's,
that's legit.
I was like legit starstruck. Like I could not even do a real, like I was supposed to be on, I think it was during the Donald Sterling stuff. And I was on and Stuart interviewed me and I was like, I got to do a real segment with Stuart Scott. Whoa. Yeah. Like, that's a big deal. Like, you got to get over yourself sometimes. And like,
but if like Stuart had said, Ramona, hey, have you lost weight? I can tell because your face looks a lot better. You wouldn't have liked that on
okay,
TV.
But also, I don't know. I wouldn't. But also, Stuart and I didn't know each other. Like, you and I are friends.
Right.
And that's like
that's
something
exactly
my mom
my
says
point.
To me. Yeah.
Right.
It means like, you lost weight.
Take the compliment,
you look good.
Brian.
Take the compliment.
If Sliwa says that to me, you know what I'd do? I'd punch him in the nose. That's right. Right in
that's
the nose.
Really?
That's
what BK would do. Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
Very aggressive.
No, not
very
really.
Aggressive.
I'm not a violent guy.
Hey, Alan, what do you got coming up on your show? You're like a
wait,
master
don't tell us
ceremonies.
Yet. Don't, Alan, keep it to yourself for a second, okay?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
We let's let the people
this
hang
is,
on
this
that.
Is tease time. Tease
well,
time.
That's
right,
right.
We already know that this is must listen radio. Okay, so like,
right.
I just want to get, I just want to get a little tease of what he's got coming up.
We're trying to create a driveway moment here, Ramona.
Got it. I understand.
What Michael Tom, what Mike Thompson used to, not Michael Thompson, Mike Thompson used to refer to as a driveway moment. We've just made one. What Sliwa's got coming up on the show next? More crosstalk. Shelburne, Kamenetsky, Sliwa, 710 ESPN. Of course, we're yelling at Lindsay, and she can't respond. Of all the
I
things
can,
that they should do,
she can text
right,
us
I took her.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I took her line.
Yeah, you took her spot, Sliwa. All right, Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, Alan Sliwa is the we prepare for Sliwa after sunset or at sunset. What do you call it? The sun doesn't set for another hour.
Yeah, I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure anymore. Mason has... Sliwa at sunset is what he has right now. And then when time change comes back and, you know, we got to adjust the clocks down the road, it'll be Sliwa after dark.
I got to be honest. I think you're overthinking this. It's just Sliwa after dark. I mean, it's so good.
What
Ramona,
about
do you
just,
remember when we did that? Ramona,
what about
remember
just,
when you were doing Sliwa. Those promos?
And I gave you the bedroom eyes. Yeah. And we did that. And you were just turning red the whole time. It was great. It's just Sliwa.
How long ago was
no,
that?
No. Ramona.
Years ago.
Too much, it's too much words.
Ago.
It's just Sliwa. in the sort of come hither voice. Just Sliwa. That's it. That's the whole thing.
So soothing. So soothing.
That should be your rejoin too. Sliwa.
Sliwa. That's awesome, BK.
All right. So Ramona had a question for you that you people were waiting to hear the answer to. Ramona, you wanna go to it?
Yeah. What do you got coming up on the show? What's going on? Is that good?
It's perfect right there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask the two of you. Let's say you're doing a solo show tonight for 2.5 hours.
Oh,
okay.
Don't envy you. I would have a guest every segment.
All right, so this is my question. So how many guests do you think I have tonight?
Four.
Okay, four from Ramona.
It's a 2.5 hour.
What do you think, BK?
So that's 10 segments total.
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
that's
and they're
great.
All from The Athletic.
That's great. any guess, BK?
I'll say three. I think tonight feels like a threer.
Three tonight.
Nice.
Three
nailed
tonight.
It.
So tonight, nailed tonight,
it.
Tonight
I won
who you got?
Track.
Who you got? Tell me.
McMenamin coming up at 7.
All right.
Bob Nightingale at 7:30.
Look at you getting Bob Nightingale. That's a good get for you.
He's great. I like that. Way to throw that in there. And then Plaschke at 8:30.
Whoa, and that's an even better get for you.
You know what? And your face looks so much better, Alan.
Plaschke, a frequent guest of the Sliwa show.
He likes the Sliwa show, huh?
I don't know what it is. I have a really
Bill
good relationship.
Loves,
with
I know
Bill.
Exactly. I know exactly what it is.
Bill likes the underdog.
Bill loves the underdog. That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
he loves the underdog. Yeah.
Bill listens to Fast Track every day, going, "I got to get on that show just to help him out."
I'll take it.
You know what? I mean, if I'm Bob Nightingale, too, after Ramona's last game, I'm excited because what we learned is birds live a very long time. Do you know how long a raven lives?
Brian, that was one of those jokes that should have stayed in the holster.
No, but do you know how long does a raven live? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
I'm asking, I know, you know, you did this in the game. I'm asking.
All right, you want me
Alan.
To guess how long
yes.
a raven
How long
lives?
Does a raven live?
Or do you want me to play the game with Alan with just the birds?
Okay.
All right.
Either way.
The
Alan,
just birds
What
edition.
Lives longer, a condor or a raven?
I'll go condor.
Wrong. The raven lives an average of 69 years. A condor makes it 52 years. Both those are some old birds, man. Old
By
birds.
By the way, how did this come up? Because that's a very intriguing game/topic. That's much better than any game I've ever put together.
Yeah.
How did
so
you think of this?
That says more about your games than it does Ramona's.
I'm going to send you the link, Sliwa. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to text it to you. I do I was just kind of trying to come up with a game, and I was like, something like, what goes the longest? Like, what? You know, how long is this thing? Or so I was like, oh, how about lifespans of animals? And then I just found a whole list of a bunch of them, and they were some are kind of surprising. Like, did you know that a pigeon lives an average of 35 years?
Did not
what?
Know that.
Who knew
did
that?
Did not know that.
Did you know that a rattlesnake lives an average of 18 and a half years?
No
what?
Idea. BK, sound impressed. Sound impressed.
I am Alan. I have a question. What do you know about hinges?
No, God, no. Don't answer that question, Alan.
That
Do not
is what they
go
call
there.
A payoff for people who listen to the whole show.
The whole show, yeah. And for people who didn't, just let your mind wander. And
it wasn't for
don't.
You.
Yep.
Do you,
go back
Alan,
to
how long do you think a zebra lives?
A zebra, I'll go.
A zebra, average lifespan.
I'll go, man, that's a good question.
Yeah, 20, it is a good question.
25 years.
Close, 30. Average lifespan of zebra.
Okay.
This is the kind of stuff I think of, Alan. This is the kind of stuff.
This is Shelburne After Dark.
How about, what
okay,
do you
wait,
think,
real, real
what
quick,
do you think
quick.
The average lifespan of a Canadian goose is?
Oh, man, Canadian goose, I'll go...
Keep in mind, they have like nationalized healthcare up there.
Yeah,
sure.
So he's got insurance.
20 years.
32 years average lifespan. Mm. That means there's some even older ones.
32 years, eh?
Yeah. Donkeys live an average of 50 years. Think about that old donkey, a 50-year-old donkey. You get a donkey when you're a kid, makes it to 50. Dang.
Ramona, one time I was doing games with Mason and Ireland, and
yeah.
I'm very well aware my games aren't good. Brian texted Mason and said that his games, what'd you say, BK?
I said that game was so bad, even Ramona thought that game sucked.
Yeah.
That's why when I hear you, that's why I'm asking you for tips, Ramona. That's where you know where my
game is. Oh, don't ask me for tips. This is probably one of my most successful games. The only more successful game I ever had was when I came up with, on the reality TV shows, when they have the introductions of like what they say about them. So like the Real Housewives, mm-hmm. like they have a little saying. Okay. So, they'll be like, hi, my name is, Candy. And they have like what do they say? I can't remember, but it's like, they have like a one liner thing. You know, I like men when they're fast, but, like, okay, I'm making stuff up. Anyway, I did a game. And I got every single one of I got Real Housewives. I said, this is an actual tagline for somebody on the show. Mm-hmm. And three of them were actual taglines and one was false. That was a really good game.
Ask you this question.
Yeah, yeah.
When you hear Ramona just talk about the enthusiasm that she was bringing to the questions about how long a donkey lives, long a zebra lives, does that make you want to road trip with her more or less? 5 hours in a car with Ramona. Are you more into that or less into that now?
No question about it. More into it.
Because now I'm driving myself now. I'm going to go ahead and just, I'll get myself there. I'll spend money on the gas. It's okay.
I mean, I think it's fun because I like
show together.
Yeah. I listen to podcasts a lot on road trips. Like Nevin and I, when we do that, we don't really play games too much. But now that we have a child, we have to listen to like a lot of Baby Shark and a lot of like whenever we're driving someplace, we put on like kid songs all the time.
Have you ever had to sing the entire way?
Oh,
We once drove to Chicago and had to sing for 2 hours to Benjamin. So from St. Louis to Chicago, had to sing for 2 hours the same song over and over and over again so that he would stop crying.
Oh,
did it work?
I'm just kidding, Ramona. I would love to take a road trip with you. We can't now.
I was kind of. I took a road trip with Arash. That was fun. We took a road trip from Cleveland to Pittsburgh. That was fun.
Soon as this thing is over, you and me, we're getting in your Honda and we're just driving. You and me in the open road.
Andy liked my game. Andy's texting me. You get a donkey when you're a kid. Yeah.
That was actually that was a
710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Plumbing Heating in there. I just had to throw that in there, guys. Keep going.
Yeah, okay.
Keep going.
Sure.
No, I'm free for that. This is, you know what Alan's really excited about? Like,
what's
it's,
that?
It's, we've gone the entire crosstalk and we've had nothing mean to say to him. Like, so it's like, I can't even pretend to be like John and Steven. It's like, Alan, I'm excited.
It was like a normal show.
We're just three people talking. And don't think for a second Alan doesn't know exactly what time it is right now. Because it's almost 26, and we're still here. That never happens.
You guys, do me a favor. Stay till 7:30 if you'd like.
Nope, not doing that.
Stay as long as you want.
Do you feel like let me pump you up the way Chris Morales tries to pump me up when I start?
Let's hear it.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Okay, Alan, tonight is your time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, he starts off by getting beat up for three rounds of crosstalk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tonight, he spent 30 minutes hearing about how scrappy and wonderful and how Bill Plaschke can't wait to go on his show. And he nailed Ramona's stupid game. Alan Sliwa, it's coming back to you.
I gotta
Sunset.
Be honest. Sliwa, I'm worried you're a little like Edward Norton in Fight Club now. Like, you need the adrenaline rush. You need to get your butt kicked for 24 minutes or you can't get out there and do your
show. I did throw some shade at him. I said
Plaschke
was a good get for him.
That was also a callback joke. It was really
it
well
was.
Done.
Yeah, I thought
this would be the first time I think I'm going into my show and I'm not down 23-0.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like
you have,
kind
you
of starting
no
on an equal playing field.
Protect a lead. Can Alan Sliwa protect a lead in the fourth quarter? We have no idea.
Just try to keep the game reasonable. That's it.
I just want to say before we go, Alan, I think your face looks a lot better.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Sliwa After Dark. It's next. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ramona.
You got it.
All right, 710 ESPN.